passages of scripture to share with you this morning. One comes from the Hebrew scriptures, the book of Exodus, chapter 24, verses 12 through 18. And the second comes from the Gospel of Matthew, found in the New Testament, chapter 17, verses 1 through 9. You'll notice that in each of these passages of scripture, certain symbols are common. They stand out, and I'll give you a hint. There are mountains, there are clouds, there is fear, and there is a revelation of love. Hear now the word of the Lord. Then God said to Moses, "Come up to me on the mountain and wait there, and I will give you the tablets of stone with all the law and the commandment which I have written for your instruction." So Moses set out with his assistant Joshua, and Moses went up into the mountain of God. To the elders he had said, "Wait here for us until we come to you again, for Aaron and Hur are with you. Whoever has a dispute in the meantime may go to them." Then Moses went up on the mountain, and the cloud covered the mountain. The glory of God settled on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it for 6 days. And on the seventh day, he called Moses out of the cloud. Now the appearance of the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire on top of the mountain in the sight of all the people of Israel. Moses entered the cloud and went up on the mountain, and Moses was on that mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. Here ends the first reading. And the second from the Gospel of Matthew. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make three dwellings here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." And while he was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them. And from the cloud, a voice said, "This is my son, the beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." And when the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and they were overcome with fear. But Jesus came up to them and touched them and said, "Get up and don't be afraid." And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. Here ends this morning's scripture reading. If there were a contest for the weirdest story in the Hebrew scriptures, Hebrew Christian scriptures, the one we just heard, or maybe the both of them that we've just heard, would be top contenders, at least in my book. And that's saying a lot, considering the whole biblical canon. From the beginning creation myths to the final apocalyptic dream of Revelation, there are a lot of strange stories in the Bible. Today we heard a story about that moment when Jesus's face illumined. It shone like the sun. And his ordinary clothes transformed into dazzling white garments. He was joined by characters like Moses and Elijah, with whom he conversed as if nothing at all were strange about the scene. And then the cloud, it appeared, and God's own voice spoke from it. Peter, James, and John were understandably shocked by the whole affair. Three gospel writers tell this same story, Matthew, which we heard this morning, Mark, and Luke, and each one of them makes sense of it a little bit differently. And as best as they can, they give us some ideas about how we too can process this story. In Mark's gospel, he relies on the theme of mystery throughout the whole gospel. So the transfiguration, or metamorphosis in Greek, is the moment that provides an important clue in solving the mystery. Who is this person, Jesus? The transfiguration tells us, well, he is the Christ, the beloved Son of God who will rise again from the dead and in so doing reveal the depths of God's love for each of us. In Luke's gospel, the theme of prayer is woven throughout his story. The transfiguration occurs when Jesus goes up to the mountain to pray with Peter, James, and John. Those three disciples became very sleepy as the prayer went on, but when they were fully awake, and when Jesus was sure they were fully awake, they saw Jesus and the two men, Elijah and Moses, standing all together. And God's glory was revealed to those who had stayed awake to see it. And when Matthew speaks of this strange transfiguration or metamorphosis, he preached, as you may remember, to a Jewish congregation for whom the prophets Moses and Elijah were very familiar. As one biblical scholar put it, Matthew gives a Moses-shaped sermon to preach about Christ's glory. Just like Moses encountered God on Mount Sinai, the disciples encounter God on a mountain. And just as Moses is born under Pharaoh, who would prefer to have him dead, so too was Jesus threatened by Herod, who would have preferred him dead. In both cases, there is a cloud associated with God who speaks through it, clearly and yet still mysteriously, for clouds are by nature nebulous. Common to all three stories is that the disciples were frightened. They didn't quite know what to do with this encounter with God. In Matthew's account, Jesus reaches out tenderly to touch them and reassure them. Do not be afraid. And in addition to this common reassurance is this common setting, the mountaintop. A mountaintop seems to be the place where people go to encounter God, a place out of the way, a place that requires some effort to get to, a place that requires one clear one's mind of distraction to be completely open to beauty and new experiences. Yes, this mountaintop setting is symbolic. So if we are to believe that God is still speaking to us right here, right now, and if you take a moment to consider those stories that we've just heard, what do your mountaintop experiences and encounters with God look like? You might remember that beginning in January, that very first week, we celebrated the Epiphany, or that moment when wise men from the East finally found Jesus. They embarked on a long journey, relied on prophecy or what some might call astrology, but no matter what you call it, they heard and felt God's calling and they went on their own mountaintop journey. It wasn't easy, it was long and hard, and it required open-mindedness, perseverance, and in their case, a little dose of humility to ask for directions and to turn around when they discovered they were using the wrong map. They persisted, though, and they tried the best they could to remove all of the barriers along the way. And alas, they encountered God in a tiny baby who would change the world. And they were changed by the experience. It prompted them to go home another way and to essentially change the course of history. throughout this season of Epiphany, where we've been since that Epiphany Sunday, I've encouraged you to open your eyes and to see how God is revealing God's self to you in the mundane and ordinary moments of your lives. And it makes sense that the season of Epiphany ends today with this story of the Transfiguration, Jesus being revealed to the disciples in a strange way. So I ask you again, what are your mountaintop moments? When have you encountered God in your life, and how did you feel about it? Were you afraid, like the disciples? Or were you comforted? Or maybe a little bit of both? Maybe you were challenged. Your encounter may not be as fantastical as the wise men at Jesus' birth or like the disciples at Christ's transfiguration, but your mountaintop experience, your encounter with God, is no less powerful and no less transformative. Maybe your encounter looked like this. Someone said the exact thing you needed to hear at the exact moment you needed to hear it. It was a clue of sorts unlocking a mystery in your own life. Or maybe it was when you were grieving a loved one and his favorite song came on the radio and gave you comfort at a moment of feeling low. Perhaps you felt stuck in any situation that just seemed unchangeable. And on a morning walk, you saw a lone, stubborn flower poking up through the cracks on the sidewalk, and suddenly you felt a wave of hope run through your body and comfort your heart, and it propelled you to keep moving forward. Whatever it was, you just had a feeling that God had something to say to you. And it's worth saying that God only speaks in love, so godly encounters are always for the good, your good, and for the good of God's beloved family. In his memoir, Telling Secrets, Frederick Buechner recalls an encounter with God. I'll share it with you now. He writes, "I remember sitting parked by the roadside once, terribly depressed and afraid about my daughter's mental illness and addiction and what was going on in our family, when out of nowhere a car came along down the highway with a license plate that bore on it the one word out of all the words in the dictionary, the one word that I needed to see most right then. The word was trust. What do you call a moment like that? Something to laugh off as the kind of joke life plays on us every once in a while? The word of God? Well," he writes, "I'm willing to believe that maybe it was something of both. But for me, whatever it was an epiphany. The owner of the car turned out to be, as I'd suspected, a trust officer in a bank. And not long ago, having read an account I wrote of this incident somewhere, he found out where I lived." Yikes. "And one afternoon, he brought me that license plate itself. And it sits propped up on a bookshelf in my house to this day. It is rusty around the edges and a little battered. And it is also as holy a relic as I've ever seen." If you can't recall a moment when you've encountered God, maybe you could, for just a moment, imagine what it would be like to be in the presence of God's prophets and to hear God's unmistakable voice like the disciples did. Would you be terrified? This story, like all stories, no matter how strange we find in the Bible, are ours, and we are invited into them to imagine and to make sense of it and to apply it in whatever way we can to our own lives, whether we dismiss it or use it in our own heart wisdom to move forward. Our everyday moments of encounter with God require us the same kind of requirements that the disciples had, that we enter into them with a spirit of wonder, to stand in the presence of mystery without always trying to solve it or name it or dismiss it as just too strange. Whatever your mountaintop experience, real or imagined, take it a step further. Ask yourself how it changed you. That's the theme of this Transfiguration Sunday: change, growth, metamorphosis through our encounters with God. These encounters, I promise, are transformative. They're like changing from one way of being to another. And if I'd given the children's sermon this morning, you would have seen a picture of the moment of the Transfiguration and a butterfly changing from one way of being to another. Friends, since we are also called to encourage one another, I'm going to take my encouragement a step farther than I usually do and invite you to share with one another what your mountaintop moments have looked like. What have been your godly encounters, and how were you changed by them? Talk about it with each other. Don't be embarrassed or ashamed. Learn from each other. You don't have to do it now, but maybe this week you think of an encounter you've had. Maybe it will become an excuse to have a coffee date with a friend or fellow congregant, or to write about it in your memoirs for future generations. If you do that kind of thing, like Frederick Buechner did. Maybe your encounter will move you into deeper relationship with someone you love, or to work on reconciliation in a fractured relationship. These mountaintop moments have great potential for the good. Naturalist John Muir is famously quoted as saying, "The mountains are calling, and I must go." But people often misinterpret his words as a call to recreation in the mountains. But they have been taken out of context, because, you see, they were taken from a letter he wrote. And in the letter, Muir referred to the work he had ahead of him, and the mountains represented that challenge. Friends, it takes some effort. It is a challenge to make sense of godly encounters. Indeed, it takes courage to go into and up the mountain and to see and accept godly encounters for what they are. But God is still speaking. So let us open our minds, our eyes, our ears, and our hearts to hear what God would say to us. And don't be afraid. Jesus is there, reaching out his hand to us, offering us help and comfort. And as we embark into the season of Lent, which is just upon us, the mountains are calling us too, and we must go. Thanks be to God. Amen.